Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read verses 18 through 25 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Then I'll pray. The choir is going to come and sing. And then we are going to come back and preach. So Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Let's read this passage responsively. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help us today. Help me as I preach. God, I pray that you'd give me your power. May we have your power as we listen. And may you change our hearts and our minds because of what is said. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18 begins the Christmas story. If you'll listen to me today, and I'm going to preface it by saying this, I am not necessarily attacking any religion. I'm just going to show you some fallacies that have been taught. I'm going to show you what Scripture teaches, and you'll be able to use it the rest of your life. Christmas is all about Jesus coming to earth to put on an earthly body that could die so that we one day could have salvation.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That was the purpose of it. He also had to live a sinless life in a body that could sin. That's what you have to understand. He had to be robed in flesh that could die, be tempted by sin, live our righteousness for us so that he could die without sin so that we could have salvation. Now, listen to this very carefully. Just as he needed to be born of a virgin woman, because that way there was no doubt who the father would be. If Jesus were just born like you and I, the paternal test would be much different than Jesus's is. Now, this is where it's going to get a little. Some of you radicals like me will get excited. The biggest part of the virgin birth is not about Mary. It's about the father. The biggest part about the virgin birth is who the father is, not who the mother is. Now, I'm not slighting women here, so hang on. The father, able to conceive seed in Mary's womb, a virgin, without a physical relationship between man and woman. God could have used any virgin's womb. I want you to understand that statement. But the father was the issue, not the woman. Mary was a sweet Christian young lady, and she was no different than any of the young ladies here in our church that are sweet, Christian, godly, virgin young ladies. She was no different than any of our girls here today. Mary was not the important part. The father was. Man's religion has placed way too much on Mary being the virgin. Everybody doing all right? The title of my sermon today is The Virgin Birth is Not About Mary. Mary was a vessel to birth the body.
I'm about to have a spell here, Brother Mike. But guess what? Mary had nothing to do with it. Mary had nothing to do with it.
Now, listen to this very carefully here. She was not deity. She was not holiness. She was not God. She was not the mother of God. Jesus didn't become a man in Bethlehem's manger. The Bible says that he became flesh in Bethlehem's manger. If you went to Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our own image." And in the image of God created he him, male and female. Jesus has always been the, I'm going to use this term loosely here, man part of the Godhead. We were made in his likeness. He did not come to be man. He came to have flesh that could die for you and me. John chapter 1, verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh, not man, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus did not become a man in Bethlehem's manger. He was robed in flesh that would die later. May I say this? Mary had no holy halo over her head. She was not sinless. Just like the girls in this room who are young ladies that are virgins are not sinless. Everybody doing all right? Just because they're clean and pure doesn't mean they're sinless. She was not a virgin the rest of her life. Look at Matthew chapter 1 again. I'm going to show you a couple verses here. And I'll show you some of these again later, but verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. What's the next statement? Before they came together. That's in reference to a physical relationship between a man and a woman. Before they came together. Look at verse number 25. And he knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son. That term, knew her, is the physical relationship between a husband and a wife. Notice it says, he did not before, and they did not until after Jesus was born. I'll show you later, Jesus had brothers and sisters. By the way, the Catholics are wrong. Joseph wasn't a 90-year-old guy who married Mary and had children from a previous marriage. You see, Mary was no more an influence on God than a prostitute that gets saved. Mary has no more power to get people's prayer answered than some harlot that gets saved.
That's right.
Mary was a sinner like you and me. Did you know she died? Now, Christmas is about Jesus, not about Mary. Mary was not popular enough to even get a motel room. Because all they got was a barn stable. Did you know that only two books of the New Testament, Matthew and Luke, record the birth of Jesus? But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four record about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Huh. If you know anything about the Greek language and the Hebrew culture, not only is the order with which something is written is important, but the number of times it is mentioned also adds to the importance. That means the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus is more important than the mention of Mary as a virgin. Everybody doing all right? Joseph almost put Mary away privily, because she was pregnant and not married. He was engaged and found out she got pregnant. Now, fellas, if you're engaged to somebody and you find out she's pregnant, and she said, "Well, I didn't have a physical relationship with anybody." There's only one woman that could claim that, and it'd be true. Just so you know. And it took God speaking to Joseph by a dream, Matthew chapter 1, to prove it. Yes, sir. Everybody doing all right? I'm trying to be as kind and as careful as I can at the moment. Mary was a sweet, godly lady, but she was not lifted above women. She was blessed among women. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, keep your finger there in Luke, because we're going to come back to it later here. But Luke chapter 1, we lift Mary up above people and up above women. But in Luke chapter 1, verse number, verse number 28. The Bible says, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Look at verse number 42. "And she spake out with a loud voice, saying, Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Wow. Notice it doesn't say, "Blessed art thou above women." It says, "Blessed art thou among women." You know, there's only one woman in the Bible that says that she was blessed above women, and that's the prophetess or the judge, Deborah, in the book of Judges. If you want to take words and parse them, Deborah was, that's not my wife, by the way, but she was blessed above women. Mary was only blessed among women. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang on. Today, I want to put the emphasis back on Jesus and take it off Mary. The only part Mary had in the virgin birth was that she was a clean, virgin young lady. She was not sinless. Listen to this statement. This may be one of the most important doctrinal things that you could hear. She had to be a sinner. Mary had to be a sinner for the Christ child to be born. Because, listen to this, Jesus had God's blood, sinless blood. In any conception, the blood is transferred from the father, not the mother. Now watch this. That means the flesh was put on by Mary. Jesus had to be robed in flesh that could die, but had to have eternal blood in the eternal genetics of God. If Mary was sinless and God is sinless, you could not have a Savior that could die. She had to be a sinner like you and me, because we know God didn't sin. You see, Mary was not the important one at Christmas. Jesus was. Jesus was. Let's put the emphasis back on Jesus and take it away from everybody else. Let's take it away from Mary. Let's take it away from the wise men. Let's take it away from the shepherds. Let's take it away from the angels. Let's put the emphasis back on the fact that it was Jesus Christ being born, robed in flesh, to die for you and me. She was not perfect. She was a sinner. Proof of that, if they were both perfect, Jesus couldn't have died. The Catholic Church will teach you that Mary was the Holy Virgin who was conceived and born from a virgin. That she was sinless. If she was sinless and God is sinless, you have no Savior. No wonder they light so many candles. Now, let me give you a couple statements here that let me rock your world for a little while here. Number one, Jesus did not call Mary his mother anywhere in the Bible. Not one time in Scripture did Jesus himself call Mary his mother. We're going to take our Bibles and use them a little bit. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, and I want to show you something. John chapter 2, we're going to read the first five verses. When you catch up, you follow along with me. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Notice it says the mother of Jesus was there, but he didn't call her mother. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, what's the next word? Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith to you, do it. I want you to notice something. He didn't call her mom. He said woman. That was not a disrespectful thing, but he brought her down to a position that was equal with all people. He said, look, you're nothing special. What gives you the right to tell me what to do? Turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Oh, this is fun. Look at verse number 25. Jesus is on the cross about to die. Look at verse number 25. John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he saith to the disciple, behold thy mother. Notice it says, behold thy mother, not behold my mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. I want you to notice something. Jesus didn't say, mama, here's John. John, take care of my mama as your mama. He said, woman, behold thy son. John, take care of her as your mother. But he did not call Mary his mother. Luke chapter 1, verse number 31 through 32. We won't take time to turn there, but it says that Jesus was the son of the highest. It doesn't say Jesus, the son of Mary. He was the son of the highest, meaning the son of God. Luke chapter 2, verses 45 and 50 through 50. We know the story when he was 12 years old. They left him at the temple. He was gone for 3 days because they thought each other had him, and Mary and Joseph go back. And she looked at him at 12 years old and said, where were you? He said, wish you not that it must be about my father's business. Never one time calling her mom. I love this. Go back to Matthew chapter 1. If you want to make everybody wiggle that believes that she's the important part of this, watch this one. Matthew chapter 1, look at verse number 23. Now, I'm going to show you these words very carefully. Behold, what's the next word? A virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Notice it doesn't say the virgin. It says a virgin. Did you know that Jesus' name was prophesied in the Old Testament, but Mary's was not? Not one place in the Old Testament will you see Mary's name mentioned, but you'll find the name of Jesus mentioned, Emmanuel, wonderful counselor, the everlasting father, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God. And you'll find the name Jesus, his name was prophesied because they were looking for the Christ child. It didn't. Don't you think if everybody knew Mary was going to birth the body of Jesus, don't you think that innkeeper would have made room for him? She wasn't the important part. Jesus was. The Father was. And you have to understand something. Her name was never prophesied, but Jesus's was. Right. Notice, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. A virgin, not the virgin. All right, I got to hurry here. Number two, Mary was a sinner like you and me. If you go back through Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, we won't take time to turn there, you find the genealogy of Jesus, and she's in the royal lineage through Joseph and Mary. But I want you to notice something. She was born of sinful parents. How could she be born of sinful parents and be sinless? Jesus was sinless because of who his father was. Mary was sinful because of who her father was. Mary was not conceived of the Holy Ghost in the womb. Jesus was. Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I want to show you something here. I'll prove it again to you that she was a sinner. Luke chapter 2. You have to understand, this is before the church had been instituted and Jesus had not yet started the church. And look at verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Watch this. And when the days of her, what's the next word? Purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, not to the mother that bare him, just so you know. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Look at me. She had to go through the Levitical or the Hebrew purification process because she was a sinner. She needed not to be purified if she was the Holy One. She had to go through, and by the way, she had to offer a sacrifice. Let me ask you a question. Did the sacrifices picture Mary or Jesus? In other words, she was consenting to the fact that that child was the Savior by offering a sacrifice for her sin and her uncleanness. Now, hang on there. I'm going to say a few things here. Mary called Jesus God and Savior. Look at Luke chapter 1. Just back a page or so. Luke chapter 1, look at verse number 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify thee, what? And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. By the way, I said this the other day. I'm going to say it again. I get a little tired of people spelling Savior in reference to Jesus, S-A-V-I-O-R. Scripturally speaking, it's S-A-V-I-O-U-R, and it's only allowed to be written O-U-R when it's in reference to Jesus. If Brother Scott falls in the cold water and I pull him out, I'm his Savior, S-A-V-I-O-R. I saved his life. I spared his life. But I'm not as S-A-V-I-O-U-R, and you better be glad. When it's in reference to Jesus, let's spell it God's way. I-O-U-R. Amen? That's just a pet peeve of mine. Thought I'd throw it in there. But I want you to notice something. Mary called him her God and her Savior. My soul doth magnify the Lord and hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Jesus was her God and her Savior. Matthew, let me just stop there. You won't find one place in the scripture where Jesus worshiped Mary. You won't find one place in scripture where Jesus said, boy, mama, we ought to worship you since you were the virgin that birthed me. I will worship you. No, she worshiped him. He never worshiped her.
That's right.
She did not remain a virgin. She had other children. We already looked at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. I love this story. Mark chapter 6. Look at verse number 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. I want you to notice something. According to Scripture, he had at least 4 brothers and 2 sisters. At least 4 brothers and 2 sisters. The brothers are mentioned by name, and it says, and sisters, sisters plural, which means he had more than one. And you know he had to be the Son of God, not sin, and have sisters. And 4 younger brothers. How would you like to have been one of the brothers or sisters of Jesus growing up, knowing that he was sinless? Knowing that Mary and Joseph knew that he could not lie, would not lie. And when Jesus spoke, that mom and dad always believed what Jesus said because he could not lie. Man, what a bummer that would be. Galatians chapter 1. I'm sorry, don't need to turn there. I'm there already. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 19. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Huh. That is in reference to Matthew or Mark 6, 3. James is listed as one of his brothers. Now, I hate to tell you something. Mary did not have 7 children and stay a virgin. Only one was virgin conceived. Only one. I know the Catholics explain it away by saying, well, Joseph was an older man and married her because he was the kinsman redeemer, and married her, and soon after Jesus was born, he had had another marriage and his wife had died, and those are children from his other marriage. Can I tell you something? That's a lie. History records that all of these children were younger than Jesus. Kind of hard for that to take place if his first wife died and these are from his first wife. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun here. And we know that he lived at least 13 years after Jesus was conceived. Joseph did. Because he was, when Jesus was 12 years old, he was in the temple, and Mary and Joseph go back. Everybody doing all right? Notice he was called in the carpenter's son, Mark chapter 6. Jesus is our mediator, not Mary. Now listen to this very carefully here. There is but one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, not the mother, Mary. The mediator, the word mediator means go-between. Let me see here if I can do this. Brother Mike, why don't you come on up here and stand between Brother Joe and I, the ugly Brother Joe. That one right there. Come this way just a little farther. Now, you're right on that one. A mediator is one. If Joe and I had a problem with one another, he would go to Joe, find out what Joe's issues are. Then he would come to me, find out what my issues are. He would go back and put us together and try to work it out in mediation, that we come to an agreement to where we'll agree to everything. That is exactly what the word mediator is. And there is, thank you, Brother Mike, you can be seated. There is but one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can stand between God the Father and we sinful humans. You say, why is that? Because he paid our sin debt. And the old accuser, the devil, stands before God and says, hey, look at Joe Heaney, look at all those sins on his record. And Jesus stands there and says, yeah, but Joe Heaney got saved. It's under the blood. He's got my righteousness, Father, and you can't hold it against him. And God the Father looks at the old smutty-faced devil and kicks him in the teeth and says, get out of here. He doesn't have any sin. Yes. Everybody doing all right? Yes. Jesus does that, not Mary. You can't pray to Mary and get any closer to God than praying through Hillary Clinton. No, that put the bar underground. Can I tell you something? You may as well pray through Hillary to get God to answer your prayers as you should pray through Mary. You can't pray through anybody. You got to pray directly to the Father, because the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom because Jesus was our high priest. He fulfilled it. He would disannulled the temple and started the church. And we become priests of God ourselves the moment we get saved. Hallelujah. Folks, you don't need to pray through Mary. We read it in John chapter 2, verse number 5, a little while ago at the marriage of Canaan. When Jesus turned the water to wine and he said, "Woman." And she said, "Whatsoever he doest or tells you, do it." Right. Look at me. She didn't say, "Whatever I tell him to do, he's going to do it." She said, "You better do what he tells you to do." She didn't have any influence over him as his biological mama. She was simply a body to birth Christ, to rear him in her home, and to bring him up so that someday he could die for our sins. I believe she was a Christian lady. I believe she was a godly person, but no more godly than any other Christian lady in this room right now. I really say, how is that? Because she was a sinner like you and me. Being a virgin does not make you sinless. Number three, I got to hurry. The virgin birth is vital to the gospel. You cannot have the gospel without the virgin birth. That is why this preacher refuses to sit down and meet with other preachers that don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I won't eat with them. I won't fellowship with them. I won't counsel with them. I will not help them. I don't believe people that believe the gospel the wrong way. Say why? Because if you're wrong on the virgin birth, you're wrong on the Father. You're wrong on the blood. You're wrong on every other part of salvation. Say why? Because the blood comes through the Father. And if you don't believe in the virgin birth, you don't believe that God the Father put the seed of man in the womb. The sinless blood is the eternal genetics for salvation. Take your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 2. I'm using a lot of scripture this morning because I want you to see it's not my opinion. I want to show you what God says. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Uh-oh, that's man's thinking. Right. And vain deceit after the tradition of men. Everybody look at me. This is a tradition of men.
Right.
This is a tradition of men. Confirmation is a tradition of men.
Right,
never find it in the Bible. Tradition of men lighting a candle. Good night, if that's the case, about half a dozen times a week. I must be doing something right at home. Lighting a candle. Get rid of the paint smell. You see, verse number 9, for in him, that's Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
That's right.
Jesus was robed in man's body that could die, but he was God, the Godhead in that body. He proved he could live a sinless life in a body that had capability of sin. By the way, he did have the capability to sin in his flesh, but because he was God, he chose not to. That's why in the book of John, it talks about he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Tempted by the devil. You don't tempt somebody with right, you tempt them with wrong. And the devil has nothing good to tempt you with. Jesus fought him with the word of God. He said, Scripture says. It is written. Scripture says. And Jesus himself fought the battle of temptation with the word of God. Now, the sinless blood of Christ is the issue. 1 Peter chapter 1. You need not turn there. Just let me read it to you, because I'll be there before you can even think about it. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things of silver and gold, paying for your sins, paying to the priest, for your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead, gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in the obeying of the truth through the Spirit under the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Say, why is that important? Because that's what the virgin birth was all about. It was about the Father and the Son, not the body that birthed it. Jesus lived inside of Mary for 9 months, proving that God could live inside of man via the Holy Spirit after you get saved. Did you know the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves into your life? And people say, oh, you can't have the Holy Spirit in you. Then you're denying the virgin birth of Christ. Because that was God dwelling in man or a woman. And the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in and God can dwell in you. Let me make this statement. If you don't accept the virgin birth, you can't accept the new birth.
That's right. Preach on.
How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel at thy sanity, you must be born again. You have to believe in that virgin birth before you can get the new birth. Because any other Jesus, any other God, was not born of a virgin. Mary gave Jesus a body that could die. The Father gave him eternal blood that cannot die, and gave him the ability to resurrect through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was given flesh by Mary. Jesus was given eternal life and the ability to live forever by God the Father. The eternal genetics of God were transferred by God, i.e. Jesus Christ, through the blood, precious blood. But Mary gave him a body that could grow inside of her, flesh that could die. Proof, Mary was a sinner. Proof that the virgin birth is part of the gospel. Next, and I'm done. Don't put your shoes on yet, though. I still have 13 minutes. Jesus is far more than Mary by position and by volume written about him in Scripture. Did you know that every sacrifice of the Old Testament was a picture of Jesus Christ?
That's right.
Every turtle dove, every pigeon, every lamb, every ox, every bullock, every goat, every cow, everything that was sacrificed, every one of those things were a picture of Jesus Christ. Watch this. Listen to this statement. Did you know that sacrifices were not virgin born? Did you know there's never been such a thing? I know. We have now genetics that we can impregnate animals with nowadays, but that does not happen in nature. You don't put two cows in the pen and all of a sudden one's pregnant and it didn't happen as a virgin. Everybody doing all right? Every one of those sacrifices, every one of them were not virgin born. Jesus was the only virgin born one. Can I tell you something? That means the sacrifice was the issue, not the mother of it, not the father. Jesus' bloodline was perfect and holy. Now watch this. Man, I'm about to have fun.
The Levitical priesthood is a picture of Jesus, not Mary. And it was all fulfilled at Calvary and the starting of the church. That's why it was done away with. That's why to go back to it said what Jesus was is not enough. For the clergy to stand in their phylacteries of the Old Testament, their robes and their colorful jewels and all the different things, and go through the ceremonies is to say Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. That's it. To call somebody priest, holy father, Jesus fulfilled all that. We don't need that trash. Anybody that believes that trash doesn't believe that Jesus was enough to take care of it. Well, if you pray through Mary, she will give you good grace and she will get your answers faster than if you just do it on your own. Barf. Sorry, vomit. Did you know that more is said about Jesus' second coming than was said about his first coming? There's more talked about the second coming of Jesus than there was the birth of Jesus? Everybody listen to this statement. I love this. This is about enough to turn you inside out. Did you know that Jesus is coming back at the rapture, not Mary? She's not going to be the one that opens up the clouds. Jesus is. By the way, Mary was a good lady. Mary was a godly person. There's nothing wrong with her, and it's not a slight to women. It is a slight to the fact that we've lifted a person above Jesus Christ. Didn't matter if it was a man or a woman. By the way, they knew which they were back in Bible days. Did you know that Jesus will rule and reign the millennial kingdom from Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, not Mary? Mary is not coming back to sit at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is there and will rule and reign, and we rule and reign with him. It's Jesus who will sit on the throne, not Mary. By the way, I did look this up just to make sure that I was not going to tell you something that I should not know about. I knew this, but I did the factual check to prove it. The Catholic Church calls Mary the Queen of Heaven, Mother of God. Now watch this. Take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7. We're going to turn to one other chapter in Jeremiah, and I'm going to show you something. Jeremiah chapter 7, look at verse number 18. Jeremiah 7, verse number 18. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. That term, Queen of Heaven, is reference to a false god. They were bringing sacrifices. They were making offerings to the Queen of Heaven. God said they're false gods, and it makes me mad. Take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah chapter 44. Look at verse number 17. But we will certainly do whatsoever things goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and all the streets of Jerusalem, for they had we plenty of victuals, and were well and saw no evil. We left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out offerings unto her. We have wanted all things, and we have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven, and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her, and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Wow. Look at verse number 25. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives both have spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed, and to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows, and shall perform your vows. I want you to notice something. They were offering sacrifices, incense, and offerings to a false god named the Queen of Heaven. Pope Pius XII in early 1940s deemed Mary the Queen of Heaven. Go do your research. Hail Mary, full of grace, Mother of God, Queen of Heaven. Some of you old Catholics know what I'm talking about. Can I tell you something? The Queen of Heaven is a false god. Goes all the way back to the time of Nimrod in the book of Genesis before the flood. Can I tell you something? She is not the Queen of Heaven. Can I tell you why? Because God's the Father of Heaven. He had no wife. He had no mother. It is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Mother Mary. You don't get closer to God by going through Mary. And the point of Jesus being born in Bethlehem's manger was not about Mary, it was about Jesus. It was about salvation. And if anything, it proves that Mary was a sinner. Because she could not be sinless, and God the Father be sinless, and them have a child that could die because Jesus came to put on a body that could die. Mary provided the sinful flesh. God provided the sinless blood. And we have our Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't let them tell you that Mary was sinless and that she was assumed to heaven. She ascended to heaven because she was the mother of God. She never died, though they teach that. Let me tell you something. If that's the case, then God the Father is the sinner because Jesus did die. If Mary was assumed to heaven and never sinned, then God the Father was the sinner because Jesus had to put on flesh that could die. One of them had to be. Everybody doing all right? Christmas is about the birth of our Savior. It's not about Mary. It's not about shepherds. It's not about wise men. It's not about gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's not about Santa Claus. Sorry. It's not about buying and giving gifts. Christmas is about the Savior being born, putting on flesh that could be put on Calvary and die for us, but it's also about him being able to live for 33 and a half years the righteousness necessary for us to go to heaven. It was about him living our righteousness for all those years in a body that could be tempted by sin, but he did not yield to it. Brother Rich, Jesus loved... By the way, did you ever wonder why Jesus didn't leave heaven and come down and get crucified the same day? He had that ability, but he had to live our righteousness in our flesh so that we could have our sins forgiven and the righteousness of God added to our account. He did all of that for you and me. That's what Christmas is all about. God did not prophesy in Scripture Mary's name, but he did Jesus. He did foretell that there would be a virgin that would conceive. He didn't say the virgin would conceive. Mary was a good lady, but she was a sinner. May I say something? Let's focus on Jesus. Let's put the focus back where it belongs, on Jesus this Christmas. Not a stable. Not the gifts. Not all of the food and the parties, and thank God for the food, and thank God for all the extra food and all of the cookies and fruitcake and all the other things that all the things that you get to eat. Can I tell you something? Let's thank God for Jesus. Let's focus on Jesus. It's not about Mary. And again, I'm not here to bash any one religion. I'm here to show you the emphasis about Jesus and the Father, not any human being. Do you know that Muhammad never claimed to be born of a virgin? You know that Buddha never claimed to be born of a virgin? Can't tell you why. They knew they weren't. And they all died. Jesus died, but he resurrected 3 days and three nights later because he had the eternal genetics of God the Father. And anybody that wants to lift Mary above Jesus, they've got it all wrong. It's not about Mary. It's about Jesus. Did you ever notice in the nativity scene, the prominent figure is Mary, not Jesus? The biggest, most forward one. It's all about her, not about him. By the way, the wise men weren't there. That's another sermon later. They didn't come till a couple years later. The shepherds were the only one there. And we don't know that there were just three wise men. History records there were probably dozens and dozens and dozens of them. You say, well, where did we get three? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We think because there was three types of gifts that there was only three wise men. You're not going to make a journey of thousands of miles across on foot and camelback with three people only. A lot of things we've accepted by tradition. How about we take the word of God? How about we just take what God said and don't give a flip what the world says? The virgin birth is not about Mary. It's about Jesus. It's about God the Father. It's about our salvation. And that's what it took for us to have our salvation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Busy time. Buying gifts, spending money. Stressing over getting things wrapped and put under the tree, getting the decorations, having party after party and going from place to place with all the family and feeling the pressure and the stress. How about we just focus on Jesus? It's all about him. It's all about Jesus.